Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So you know the drill. We're here to take a stack of your source materials, articles, technical notes, all of it, and really just pull out the essential intelligence you need.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission today is to move way beyond just tracking a simple APY. We're going to construct a fully structured, implementable yield optimization framework.
And that's the critical difference, isn't it? If you're serious about generating real returns in DeFi, you just can't treat it like some static savings account.
No.
Yield optimization is. It's mm-hmm. a dynamic engine. It needs constant input. We're balancing five key factors today. Supply rates, borrow costs, leverage, gas fees, and the big one always is risk.
Right.
The framework we build is your system for maximizing returns while, you know, intelligently managing all five of those variables.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we are going to start at the absolute foundation, because if you don't nail this first step, everything else is just built on quicksand. We'll show you how to calculate your true yield, then dive into some advanced leverage strategies like looping, and finally give you a clear five-step framework you can use immediately. Okay, so let's get right into it. Why is just looking at the advertised base APY, the big flashy number on the screen, why is that such a financially costly mistake?
Because that base APY, it's aspirational. It completely ignores the reality of interacting with the blockchain.
The friction.
Exactly. The friction. Your effective yield is always dragged down by transaction costs, specifically gas fees. And just as importantly, how often you choose to compound. You compound more, you pay more fees, it adds up.
So to make good decisions, you have to build this friction right into your analysis. And that's why this true yield formula is the foundation of the whole framework. It forces you to look at the base APY plus any protocol rewards and then subtract the drag from gas costs.
And stating the formula is easy. You know, true yield equals base APY plus rewards minus your total gas costs times transactions, all divided by your principal. But what's really fascinating is what the numbers show you about your strategy.
Let's run the scenario from the sources. So you have a $10,000 USDC position. The base APY is 5%. And you decide, okay, I want to compound monthly to maximize my interest. That's 12 transactions a year.
Right. And now let's look at network selection. If you choose an efficient layer 2, like, say, Arbitrum, where gas is reliably low, maybe 50 cents a transaction.
Okay.
Your total annual gas cost is just $6.
Okay, let's stop there because this is where the clarity comes in. A total cost of $6.
Yeah.
We're basically asking, how much does that $6 eat into the $500 I'm expecting to earn?
Exactly. When you plug that back into the calculation, you're dividing that $6 by the $10,000 principal.
Right.
And the math shows that that $6 cost is only a 0.06% drag on your yield. So your 5% becomes a true yield of 4.94%.
So for a position this size on an L2, the fees are basically negligible.
Almost a rounding error. But the whole calculation flips if we move networks.
Right. Take that same 10 grand, same 12 transactions, but now you're on Ethereum mainnet. And let's say gas is $25 a pop.
Now your annual cost is $300. That's a 3% drag on your yield.
A 3% drag?
Yeah. Suddenly your 5% base yield is just, it's decimated. It plummets to a true yield of only 2%.
Wow.
And this forces you to realize that gas costs dictate not just your compounding frequency, but your network choice. And critically, the minimum size your position has to be to even make sense.
So L2s for smaller amounts and frequent compounding mean it really requires a much larger capital base to absorb those costs.
You have to hit that break-even point. And of course, the raw supply rate itself isn't static. We have to look at what drives it, which brings us to the utilization rate.
Explain that.
The utilization rate is just the percentage of assets in a pool that are currently being borrowed. If 90% of all the USDC is borrowed, utilization is high.
Okay.
And high utilization means the protocol wants to incentivize more suppliers. So to do that, the supply APY automatically goes up. A key part of optimization is just monitoring these utilization trends.
Okay, so once we have a solid true yield foundation, the next phase is about maximizing it. And that means leverage, specifically a strategy called looping.
Yield amplification.
Plain and simple.
Looping is, it's elegant in concept, but it can be tricky in execution. You take a yield-bearing asset, something like Gitosol, you deposit it as collateral.
Right.
You borrow stable coins against it, use those stable coins to buy more of the Gitosol, and then you redeposit that new amount as more collateral.
And you just repeat that cycle until you hit your target leverage, amplifying your exposure the whole time.
And historically, doing that manually was just a nightmare. So many transactions, high gas, slippage risk. But now you have these automated looping protocols. The sources mention Comino Multiply as an example.
How do those work?
They use atomic transactions and flash loans to do the entire deposit, borrow, buy, redeposit cycle in a single step. It's cleaner and much, much safer from an execution standpoint.
But whether it's automated or manual, the actual profitability all comes down to the net yield formula. This is the core risk-reward analysis.
Right. Net yield equals your asset yield times leverage minus your borrow rate times, and this is the important part, leverage one.
Okay, let's break that second part down, the leverage one. That's what trips people up, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's the most important part to understand. That leverage one term is crucial because you only pay interest on the capital you actually borrowed. So if you leverage 3x, one part of that is your original capital, the other two parts, the 3-1, that's what you borrowed. You earn yield on the full 3x, but you only pay to borrow on the 2x.
Got it. Okay, let's run the numbers from the GDOSL example. The underlying asset yield is 7%. We're targeting 3x leverage, and the current borrow rate is 5%.
So we calculate 7% times 3 is 21%. Then we subtract 5% times 2, which is 10%.
21 minus 10. An 11% net yield.
An 11% APY.
Yeah.
That 4% amplification is exactly why people take on this kind of risk.
That 11% is. It's extremely seductive.
But this is where we have to be critical, right? That number is only good if the rates stay put. How stable are these borrow rates?
That is the essential question. That leads us right into risk management. You must calculate your break-even point.
Okay.
What if that borrow rate rises to, say, 8%? The equation changes. 7% times 3 is still 21, but now 8% times 2 is 16%. Your net yield drops to 5%.
And if it keeps going up?
If the borrow rate hits 10.5%, you break even. Anything above that, you are actively paying to lose money. So that break-even point is your line in the sand. If the rate crosses it, you have to unwind the position.
Immediately. And that's just one risk. The other, of course, is liquidation.
Which is amplified by the leverage.
Massively. You have to watch your health factor constantly. The sources suggest a minimum of 2.0. And you also need to understand the liquidation price formula, the exact price where your collateral gets sold off. Monitoring is not a suggestion here. It's mandatory.
So we've optimized our single position. We know our true yield. We've responsibly maximized leverage. The final step is looking outward. How do we make sure our capital is always at its most efficient spot across the entire DeFi landscape?
This is where optimization becomes arbitrage. You're looking for temporary market inefficiencies, specifically rate spreads.
And why do those exist?
Mostly due to utilization differences. One protocol might see a sudden spike in demand for USDC, so its supply rate shoots up, while a competitor is still lagging behind. Or maybe there's a temporary rewards program.
The example you gave is a classic one. A WUB supplying USDC at 4%, while Morpho is at 5.5%. That's a 1.5% spread just sitting there.
It is. It's pure arbitrage profit waiting to be captured. But you have to be cautious before you hit that migrate button. There are three essential checks.
Okay, what's first?
Gas costs. That 1.5% spread has to be big enough to justify the gas fee for the transfer. Again, this is why L2s are so critical for this kind of active optimization. They make these small moves actually profitable.
Makes sense. Second check.
Withdrawal limits and liquidity. You need to make sure the target protocol actually has enough idle liquidity for you to deposit into. If a pool is at 99% utilization, you might not be able to get in, or your own deposit might push the rate down.
And the third check is always risk.
Always risk. Is the extra 1.5% yield worth any additional protocol or smart contract risk on the new platform? You never chase a tiny bit of yield into a protocol you haven't vetted.
This whole systematic approach brings us right to the five-step action plan. This is the structure you can implement today.
Step one is foundational. Assess your risk tolerance. You have to define your own rules. Are you conservative stablecoins only? High health factor? Moderate? Maybe some light leverage on blue chips?
Yeah.
Or aggressive, you have to define this first to avoid making emotional decisions later.
Right. Step two, calculate true costs. That's everything from phase one applied to every potential position. Base yields, gas, fees, all of it.
Step three is identify opportunities. This is your monitoring phase. And you have to look deeper than the dashboard. Don't just track static rates, track utilization changes. Look for protocols that are about to cross an inflection point.
What do you mean by an inflection point?
Many protocols have algorithms where the supply rate jumps dramatically once utilization hits a certain threshold, like 80%. That sudden spike is your signal. That's the arbitrage opportunity.
That's a great tip. Okay, step four is execute safely.
Yes. Start small to confirm your math is right. Monitor the position intensely, especially if you're leveraged. And always, always have that exit strategy ready.
And finally, step five, optimize continuously.
This is not set it and forget it. You should be reviewing positions weekly, rebalancing when spreads change, and tracking your performance to make sure your strategy is actually, you know, adding value.
And the potential uplift here is, it's really significant. The sources lay out that $50,000 real-world scenario.
Right. Option A, you're conservative. You put $50,000 USDC in AIV at 5%. That's $2,500 a year. Simple, low risk.
Easy. Now, option B, where you apply this framework. You diversify, maybe put some in Morpho to catch that 5.5% rate, and you dedicate a piece to that 2x leveraged Gitosol position we calculated at 11%.
By mixing protocols and applying smart risk-managed leverage, your total annual earnings jump. Option B brings in about $3,200 a year.
That's a $700 improvement, a 28% increase in earnings, achieved not by luck, but just by systematically applying this framework. It shows the real reward for taking on slightly higher, but intelligently managed risk.
So to bring it all together, we have six key takeaways for your framework. One, always calculate your true yield. Two, looping amplifies returns, but also risk. Be very careful. Three, arbitrage is about capturing spreads driven by utilization.
Mm-hmm.
Four, calculate the break-even point for every single strategy before you deploy. Five, monitor constantly. Things are always changing. And six, start conservative, master the tools, and then optimize from there.
That's the complete blueprint. And as we close out, here's a final thought for you to consider. Optimization isn't just about chasing the biggest raw number you see. It's about maximizing your risk-adjusted returns. So given the volatility of rates and gas costs, what is your true optimal compounding frequency? Is it daily, weekly, or monthly? Finding that sweet spot that perfectly balances minimizing transaction fees against maximizing your effective APY, well, that single decision could save you hundreds of dollars over a year.
Something to mull over until our next deep dive.
We'll see you next time.